I had never even thought of the word sustainability. It wasn't in my life. It hadn't come across my thoughts. I was living my dream job. I was doing what I dreamt of since the age of four, which was sailing around the world. I was living what really was a dream. I was incredibly lucky to have found funding to go off to sail around the world twice. So why would I leave that behind me? I never thought that was possible. Well, the two things. The first was the definition of the word finite. When I set off around the world, I had to gather together every single thing I would need for my survival for 3 months. Everything. Down to toothpaste, socks, clothes, food, diesel for the generator, everything. And when I left, I had to manage those resources down to the very last drop. Because down there, there's no petrol station, there's no filling station, there's no shop to go and buy a little bit more hot chocolate if you run out. What you have is all you have. And the second thing was I was given the opportunity to go down to one of the Southern Ocean islands called South Georgia. I'd sailed past these islands many, many times and never had the chance to actually see them. And for me, that was a voyage of discovery. I was given this opportunity and I grasped it with both hands. But I saw something down there that made me start to think differently. Down in South Georgia on an island which is 800 miles east-southeast of the Falkland Islands, below the Antarctic convergence where there are icebergs floating past, there are mountains on South Georgia which are 3,000 metres tall, covered in glaciers. It is an isolated place. Yet, between 1900 and 1950, there were 4,500 of us living there because we were harvesting oil from the sea. And back then, it was in the form of whale oil. We were there for 50 years, and at the end of 50 years, we left. And we left because there were no more whales, there was no more whale oil, and these ghost towns, which now stand there today, were empty. And in that moment, standing in that town, I learned my second lesson about resources. That's what we do. We go somewhere, we take a resource, we use it up, and we move on to the next one. And that began for me a journey, because I had two choices. I felt like I'd lifted up a stone and looked underneath it. I'd seen something. It was the beginning of something. Maybe it was the beginning of the yellow brick road. But I saw the beginning of something, and I had the choice to put that stone back down again, ignore it and carry on with my dream job, or begin a journey to learn more about this new subject, sustainability. And I chose the latter. And I began a journey. I began a journey of learning. The last 4 years I spent talking to businesses, talking to CEOs, talking to miners, talking to people that work in coal-fired power stations, people who've engineered wind turbines, talking to teachers, talking to young people, working for 9 months with the Isle of Wight Council, working with the government, with the DCSF, the Zero Carbon Schools Task Force over the last year, to try and learn as much as I possibly could about this subject. And energy was something in there which kept cropping back. Energy, something I understood from sailing around the world because I managed that diesel, because I needed that diesel to keep the energy going in the boat for its autopilot. And coal, one of the most plentiful sources of energy we have today. Coal was a subject close to my heart because my great-grandfather was a coal miner. He spent 50 years of his mines down the of his life down the mines in Derbyshire, and I grew up with that because my great-grandfather was alive until I was 11 years old. And I would sit on his knee hearing his mining stories. He talked about the camaraderie down the mines, the canaries they had, his fondness for the pit ponies they worked with day and night, and that when they retired, the miners would feed them the crust of their sandwiches because they always used to live in the fields around the mines. It was like it was yesterday to me. And just to give you one example of research, when I looked into coal, I went to the homepage of the World Coal Institute, set up obviously to talk about coal. And on the homepage, it said 119 years. On the homepage, it said 119 years. And then I clicked on the word coal, and it said coal is a fossil fuel, far more plentiful than oil or gas. And currently, we have about 119 years remaining worldwide. Now, 119 years is admittedly outside my lifetime, but my great-grandfather was born 117 years ago. And it was that made me give up sailing, because I realised there was a far greater challenge out there. There was something far more important than chasing my dream of sailing around the world, of watching the sunset over the ocean. There was something actually that really mattered, and through my sailing, I had a voice. And that's when I set up the Ellen MacArthur Foundation to communicate something different to young people. And I started to realise, because people would ask me, are you doing this for moral reasons? And I thought long and hard about this, because it's quite a deep question. And actually what I said to people was, no, I'm doing this because I've seen the practicality of managing resources on a boat. And I see what we have in our world as being something which is finite. It is. The facts and figures showed that. And I realised too, the more research I did, the more people I spoke to. When I spoke to CEOs, when I spoke to consultants, I spoke to a Norwegian consultant. He'd been working with one of the biggest chemical companies in the world. Now, he was a consultant about sustainability. He sat with the board. He didn't sit with the CSR department. And the board basically said, our primary energy that we use to make our gas, our chemicals from is gas. And the primary material we use to make our chemicals from is gas. Therefore, in 100 years, our business doesn't exist. What do our shareholders think of that? And suddenly it becomes something which is actually very relevant right through the business. That's not a moral decision for them. That's actually, we want to be here in the future. And I started to think about this communication. How do you communicate these messages? When I started to talk about this subject last year, I learned my next lesson. When I got to the end of my speech, and I talked to the general public about my life, about sailing, about the incredible feeling of crossing a start line and a finish line, and then the second half of the presentation was about sustainability. And when I got to the end of that presentation, having communicated to them all that I'd learnt, when they came up to me and said, Ellen, I get this. I get that there's a real issue in front of us. All I could say was use less. They said, what can I do? I said, well, we have to use less. And it made me think about me as a child. When I was growing up, if I'd have wanted to be a good citizen and all I heard was use less, that's not really something that's aspirational. As a child, you want to do everything. You want to grasp the world with both hands. You want to take everything forward. As a child, the world is your oyster. Actually, is there something not more positive out there? Something about creativity, about rethinking, about redesigning, about grasping this situation? The way that we use things at the moment is we take something out of the ground, we make something out of it, and then we throw it away. But where is a way? There is no way. We live in a finite world with a finite number of materials, and the chemical company realised that just as much as many of us in this room today. So when we set up the Ellen MacArthur Foundation, our goal was to communicate to the next generation what you can do differently, how you can think differently, and the possibilities of the future. And we've gone out to find case studies from as many places as possible so they see this as a challenge to grasp with both hands. And they don't come through school thinking, well, I want a job in the future, that's important, but what can I actually do? Because if we're using less and less of everything, where will that ultimately take us? Where will I actually go? So the foundation's about creativity and it's about vision. And this takes me back to the final story. When I was a kid, when I sailed for the first time, age 4, and felt the freedom of the sails filling with wind and that boat firing through the ocean, for me that was the biggest sense of freedom I could imagine. And I had no idea how I was going to do it, but I knew exactly where I was going, and I was going to sail around the world.
Her time was 71 days, 14 hours, 33 minutes and 18 seconds.
To break around the world record, you have to be fast. And to be fast, your boat needs to be light. You take with you the minimum of resources and you manage them down to the last drop of diesel and the last packet of food. And no matter how tired you are, you do that because you're so aware they're finite. And when I stepped off that boat at the finish, I began to question, is our world any different? I want to take you on a journey, one which led me to give up competitive sailing to focus on a much greater challenge. Life on Earth has existed for over 4 billion years, in which time it has continually adapted and evolved to perfect itself, always within a basic framework. Materials endlessly cycle, energy was provided by the sun, and all life was made to be made again. Mankind appeared only 200,000 years ago, became civilized 20,000 years ago. Only a few hundred years ago, we began to use fossil fuels, a blip in time, the Industrial Age. We started to mine stuff out of the ground, and we found oil. Each barrel provided the same energy as one man working every day for a decade. Today you can buy that barrel for the same price as a pair of jeans. So is it a surprise then that we used this to move, build homes, schools, cities, make stuff and communicate, live better lives? This new energy allowed us to pump more water, produce more food, enabling our population to increase. It quite literally changed the world. Fishing villages were transformed into megacities in just 50 years. But how long can this carry on? As a child, I never questioned it. No one ever hinted to me at school that this might change.
I wanted to find out more about the reality of our situation. And 4 years ago, I started reading, learning, and listening. What I found out staggered me. What you see here is a million-ton mountain of coal. How long do you think it could power the UK for? Answer? Just over a day. Perhaps it was facts like this that made me realise life on land was not so different from life at sea. The same applied to anything finite. Water, copper, phosphorus, down to the indium in the screen of the phone in your pocket. The word finite now had a different meaning to me. We spend a lot of money and effort taking stuff out of the ground, making something from it, and then we throw it away. But actually, where is a way? If we keep taking a finite thing and dumping it, what'll happen in the end? But it's okay because we have a plan, don't we? The plan to take a bit less stuff out of the ground, make things more efficiently, and then throw away a bit less, and maybe even recycle some of it. But where will this actually get us? Is it just delaying the inevitable? So let's face it, if we just focus on using less and creating slightly less harm, we end up back here. Can't we do better than this? Living systems have proven themselves to create an abundance of stuff, and successfully, for billions of years. It looks almost like now we're trying to function outside the rules, like our operating system's broken. We're trying to impose a linear system on a circular world. So is there something that we can learn from these living systems? Something that might provide an insight into how we can rethink the future? There is. And that's something that companies, and in fact whole countries, like China and Holland are beginning to use. Their aspiration is to get to a system that works long term, a circular economy. Energy in living systems comes from the sun. In our rethought world, we see this in the form of renewable energy, sources that last. Diversity brings resilience. Living systems benefit from a range of many different organisms and scales. They balance efficiency with effectiveness to survive external shocks. Some modern companies use this concept to model infrastructure, ensuring that they're not reliant on one supplier, one resource, one type of energy. They collaborate and adapt. It works for communities too. Waste equals food. Waste does not exist in living systems. Yes, of course. I know what you're thinking. Worms don't have iPhones and whales don't drive cars. But we can use this same principle when we make man-made products. And in the world of making stuff, it's called closing the loop. Take a fridge. When it's time to get rid of one, we pay to throw it away. Why? Do we actually want a fridge? Or do we want cold food? I think unless you collect old fridges, you know the answer to this. In the future, there'll be more people in the world. Materials will be more expensive, and so will energy. Perhaps in the future, the company owns the precious materials in our fridge, and the fridge is now made to be made again. When its useful life is complete, it goes back to its maker for its next life. The valuable materials are maintained. Now comes the clever bit, where we start to weave together these insights and rethink the future. Imagine an electric car. Slow, boring, expensive, and impractical. Now think back to how long ago it was that you couldn't watch a video on your phone. And then imagine the endless possibilities of the future. Imagine innovation, development, and that an electric motor has half the energy loss of a petrol or diesel vehicle. We need half the energy to power it from the start, making it more powerful, faster, and more fun to drive. Imagine that we make it lighter, using polymers that are made to be used again and eliminate waste. Imagine to make it cheaper. The maker owns the battery, and we have battery stations rather than petrol stations to make the range further and further. Imagine we connect our car to our house, which is linked to the national grid. Houses and cars then act as capacitors, so during ad breaks when the nation turns on its kettles, we can avoid firing up a power station. So if we can work towards a system where stuff is made to be made again, where we use renewable energy to make and move things, and we celebrate diversity, can we not rethink and redesign the future? A future that can actually build capital, not just eat things out a bit longer. Switch to using things, not using things up. It's not just about technology, but creativity, and about how we can learn from a model that's been tried and tested for billions of years. We have a window of opportunity to make this transition, and it's up to us to take the first step. Assume nothing. Question everything. Rethink the future.
foundation is about sharing what we can do, not what we can't. And I'd like to leave you with a quote. If you want to build a ship, don't drum up the men to gather wood, divide the work and give orders, but instead, teach them to dream for the vast and endless sea. Thank you.